to that. We're traveling through the Bible. We're here in 1 John. Turn, if you would, to the New Testament book of 1 John chapter 1. The ushers are going to come down the aisle for just a moment to make sure you have a Bible, so just raise your hand if you need one. They'll consider it a privilege to pass the Bible to you. They also have pencils to keep notes with. We always encourage that. But make sure you have a Bible. And if you need to keep that Bible, we consider it a privilege to give you it. No charge for it. If you're just borrowing it, you can drop it off on the way out. But for all of us, let's turn in our New Testaments to 1 John chapter 1. Most commentators agree that it's somewhere near the end of the first century, approximately 90 AD, give or take a few years. And John has seen the other apostles and all go home to be with the Lord. We know that he's seen Peter and Paul and others go before him, and now he is old. But he pens this letter. He speaks about the fact that, hey, I saw Jesus. I heard him. I walked with him. We touched him. Indeed, God revealed himself. God came and walked amongst us, John says. He's real. Not coming to establish some religious system or something like that, but he came that we might have real fellowship with him. He's real, and he says it's got to be real, or it's nothing. And so he's been speaking here about the fact that God has come, that he manifested himself to them, that he longs for fellowship with us, and he wants us to have fullness of joy. We left off at verse 5. Let's pick it up there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Having said all of that, go back to verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him. So John, again, having began by saying, hey, we saw him, we walked with him, we heard him. God incarnate was right here. And John said, and this is the message. This is the message he gave us. This is the message we have from him. And what is that message? It's the message we have from him, and we declare it to you. It's from him to you. And what is it? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Think about that. Light here means holy. That he is holy. God is holy. He's absolutely pure. Completely holy. No sin. Not a drop of impurity in God. So now think of it. Again, here's John. He heard Jesus, walked with him, came to understand that that is God indeed, the Word who had come to dwell amongst us. And what's he point to when he says, here's the message? He starts with God's very nature. Many things he could have pointed to, but after saying, hey, God wants fellowship with us, he wants you to have fullness of joy, he said, and here's what he told us. Here's the message we have from him to you. And he begins by pointing to this key part of God's nature, so much wrapped up right there in it, that God is light, meaning he is totally, completely holy. But after declaring that, then he says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He is light, is John's declaration, or God through John, that he is light. Now you make sure you walk in it. The word walk refers to how we live. It's a phrase, a term that kind of captures how we live, our choices, our behavior, our priorities. Our walk is our life. Walk in the light is the call. See, too many people think they can keep walking in that darkness. They can keep harboring that sin. They can keep having that behavior that God wouldn't have. It's not of Him. It is sin. It's contrary to His call to you. But too many people think they can do that and still have fellowship with God. John declares it flat out. You cannot practice sin and have fellowship with God. It's not a both, it's an either or. You're going to walk in the dark and not have fellowship, or walk in the light and have fellowship. You can't have both. Thus, I've called our time together this morning, walk in the light. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, thanking You that already, Lord, You're at work. I truly sense You are. Even in our worship time, Lord, I could sense You touching hearts and preparing us to hear Your word and what You want to say to us this morning. We come to You as the one who loves us. We come to You the one who loves us with a love like no other love, a love that caused You to give Your Son. We come to You as the one who is the only one who can forgive and cleanse us. We come to You as the one who's the only one who can really heal those parts of us that need that healing, that spiritual healing. So, Lord, help us. Help us this morning, Lord. Search our hearts. Don't let us be here in body only. Don't let us be here just kind of playing at this thing. But help us, God. Lay Your finger on anything that might be between You and us. Don't let us think we can walk contrary to You and still have fellowship with You. But help us to hear this with the love and the call that's behind it all. So Lord, speak, we ask. And then help us, Lord. Help us not leave here the same way we came in if we need this change this morning. Work, we pray. We ask, Holy Spirit, move amongst us, move upon us, move within us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you are familiar with the account of King David, but allow me just to remind us, and for some perhaps you haven't heard this, but it really brings home what we're going to look at this morning. One evening, David, that boy who God had raised up, that shepherd boy who God made a king, one evening King David was out walking on the roof of his house, it tells us. Most of you are familiar with the story. And from the roof, he sees a woman named Bathsheba. She's bathing. And Scripture says he sees her and she's very beautiful. And so David, the king, sends for her, has her brought back to his home, and he lays with her. Now, he then sends her back home, but soon she sends word back to him that she has become pregnant because of their interaction. David, now in an effort to hide his sin, he sends for her husband Uriah. See, Uriah is out with the troops. They're in battle. David had stayed home, but all the troops were out in battle. Well, David, in an attempt to hide what he'd done, calls her husband Uriah back. But try as he may, he can't get this guy to go home and be with his wife. He says, no, my all the other guys are out there fighting. They don't have the benefits of home. I'm not going to go home and be with my wife. So David then concocts a scheme whereby he has her husband Uriah killed in the battle. Thinking now that he has hid his sin, he takes Bathsheba to be his wife. Now at this point, David has had adulterous thoughts. He acted upon them. He then tries to cover that up by being a party to murder. So as we reach this point now, he is a man who's living a lie. But he thinks he's gotten away with it. He thinks nobody knows. But then, at least some 9 months later, something happens. Nathan the prophet drops by to pay a little visit. says, David, I need to tell you about a man in your kingdom here. He's really rich. He's got all these flocks and herds and everything. And he had a guest come to visit him, and instead of going out and just picking one of his many sheep that he has, he went to his poor neighbor who simply has one little lamb, and he took that poor man's lamb to feed his guest. Well, David hears the story, and he goes, oh, and he's you know, outraged. That man will surely die. And Nathan said, you're the man. And shows him I was an example of what he had done. David thought he was so slick. Thought he'd covered up his tracks. But of course, God knew all the time. And David records for us what it felt like during that time when he's trying to hide it, act like it wasn't there. Psalm 32, 3 and 4, he says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Now don't answer out loud, but I ask you, have you ever been in that place? Hiding a sin, got a behavior, an attitude, something that you're trying to keep it hid, something going on in your life that you're trying to somehow rationalize or something. I ask you this morning, have you ever been in that place? Perhaps you're there right now. Maybe you didn't kill somebody, but you've sinned, and you know it. And it's between you and Him. Remember, only man grades sins. But all sin is sin to God. Any sin separates us from God. Look at verse 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, that means practice sin. We lie and do not practice the truth. I wonder if somebody this morning, perhaps more than one, is going to be willing to admit that there's something there that it's time to turn from, time to let go of. Go back to verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not what we say, it's what we do. He says, oh, we can say one thing, but how are you walking? Are you walking in the light, in His love? In obedience to Him, or are you walking in darkness? Again, I wonder if there's someone, perhaps more than one this morning, who you know right now, it's time to stop the lies. Time to stop the sin. Time to quit pretending like you're walking in the light when you are not. Just like David, you've been pretending, you've been lying to others, lying to yourself, and trying to lie to God. What's the harm in a little bit, you tell yourself. No big deal that I do that thing, that I have those thoughts, that I act on those things, that I allow this thing. What's the big deal? Yes, I have a closet here that it's got yucky stuff, but I only go there once in a while. And the rest of my life is His. And certainly He understands. And on we go. Wouldn't it be great to have it all forgiven this morning? To just start over right now, this morning. God doesn't want to play church. He did all this so He could have fellowship with you. But the ball's in our court. We're the weak link in this whole thing. Are you allowing something between you and Him? If you are, you're getting ripped off. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I don't know how much more clearly God can say it. You cannot practice that thing and think you have fellowship with Him. And it would do no good to tell Him it's not there. That is no big deal. See, look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, this verse is referring to the sin nature. And this verse establishes that we all have the sin nature in us. That's that first sin. If we say we have no sin, it means if you try to say we have no sin nature. So this word points to the fact that it's the sin nature being referred to. So if we try to say that, oh, man is basically good, there's no such thing as sin, there is no sin nature, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth isn't in us, he says. And there are groups that try to say that. Oh, there's no such thing as sin. Man is basically good. God says, you're just deceiving yourself. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, now that reference is to specific acts of sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So verse 8, it's referring to a denial of the sin nature. And verse 10, it's referring to a denial of specific acts of sin. So John lays it right out there. We have both a sin nature and we go on to perform specific acts of sin. I thought I'd pause for just a moment to see if there are any shocks of surprise amongst you, but I see there's not. No one's going, oh, really? We know all this all too well. For we fight it, we battle it. But the awesome thing is, if you're in Christ, the power of sin has been broken. And that's what he's trying to tell us. You have new choices you can make, but some of us aren't making them. There's compromise, there's allowances, and therefore there's defeat. And you're getting ripped off. If we're honest with ourselves, we know these verses to be all too true. So what is God's remedy then? If there's both a sin nature and specific acts of sin, what is God's remedy? Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an awesome, awesome verse. Believer, that soak in that verse. Hang on to the truth of that verse. Think about what it's pointing to. Look at it right now. And may we look at it with our hearts, because for some of us, we particularly need to apply it this morning. What's God's remedy for sin, for that sin that might be in your life right now? He says what? Confess it. Now, it's important that we consider something. What does confess here mean? The English word confess means to admit the truth of an accusation. To own up to the fact that one is guilty of having committed the sin. We might say they confessed in court. Oh yes, they confessed to the crime, or they said, yes, I did it. But it's interesting, the Greek word goes beyond that definition. Now listen carefully. The Greek word here is made up of two words that mean the same and to say. Thus, it means to say the same thing as another, or to agree with another. Now let's go a little deeper. In context, in God's view, confession of sin for the believer means this. It means to say the same thing that God is saying about that sin. That's what it means to confess the sin. It means calling it by the name God calls it. Naming it for what it is. See, it's more than just admitting it. It's facing it squarely for what it is. It is to agree with God. It's to see it like God sees it, call it what God calls it, and hate it for what it did to Jesus because of it. That's what it means to confess our sins. Agree with God on it. Call it for what it is. In the book of Malachi, which Tim, our assistant pastor Tim here, so ably pointed out in his last Bible trolley study on Malachi. In Malachi there, God tells the people more than once how they had disobeyed him. And they kept saying, well, how? When did we ever do that? And so God says, okay, I'll tell you. And he tells them, boom, boom, boom. See, it's as if what? They're going to say, when? And God's going to go, well, maybe you're right. Maybe he didn't do it. I was wrong. Sorry. No, when he lays his finger on, he knows right well what he's talking about, of course. And all God wants us to do is admit who we are and what we've done. See, we blame, we accuse, we deny, as if he doesn't know the truth. Oh, if they hadn't, if only. On and on we go. And he's saying, will you just admit it? See, all he wants is confession and turning around. That you cry out and let him empower you and enable you to get the victory he's purchased for you. But it starts with a confession, admitting it, truly, truly agreeing with God on it, calling it for what it is, but giving it to him and turning from that thing. So I ask you, have you reached the place where your sin is breaking your heart? If not, please hear this in love, but I hope you get there, and I hope it's right now. I hope you'll be open to God putting his finger on this, because you are getting ripped off. We think we get away with it. Oh boy, I kept this thing in my life. Not understanding the separation it's caused and the price that you are paying. So I ask you, are you just plain tired of your sin? Are you just plain tired of trying to pretend it's not there or cover it over or try to ignore it or just kind of stuff it back in the closet all the time or whatever it might be? Are you just plain tired of it? Again, good. Good. I hope you're tired of it. I pray that you are. See, David learned that's the place to be. That's part of the process. Don't stay stubborn. And don't stay prideful. Don't argue with God as to why you're justified in having your sin. And don't try to keep telling God how other people are doing worse things. And it's no big deal. You got to bail on all that and just reach that place where you just confess it. David said it in Psalm 51:17. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So God stands there and he waits. And he says, when are you going to confess? When are you going to admit that you've got something there that's in the way? You're harboring a resentment, some unforgiveness, an attitude, a jealousy. It's not just the murders and everything, but it's all those things. He says, it's in the way. Let it go. And remember, there are sins we commit, commission, and there's sins of omission, things I should have done and didn't, that I knew God was calling me to, and I disobeyed it. And so here we sit until he says, when are you going to obey me in that? I want to do something awesome in you or through you. So there's both going on. Back in verse 1 of Psalm 51, David had cried out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You got to reach that point where you say, God, I have nothing to commend myself to you. Here I am, broken, open. I confess it. I don't blame, excuse, help. And then he says, okay, now we can get to work. But we got to get to that place. And some of you need to right now. This is not random. But some of us need to get something dealt with this morning. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Notice that. It's his character that's going to determine the forgiveness. Not, did you earn it? Were you good enough? Did you crawl over glass far enough to earn his forgiveness? No, this forgiveness is rooted in his character. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his nature, his character. That's what John's pointing out here. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Soak in this, believer. What happens when we cry out? We just come as we are and cry out to him. What does he do? It's based on his nature, faithfulness. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse. Not just forgive them, but to cleanse, to wash. Taking that which was red as scarlet, making it white as snow. So he forgives us based on his nature and his finished work on the cross. God isn't down on you. He misses you. He's calling you back. He wants that thing cleared out of the way. And he's calling you like a father to a child. See, this is speaking to believers. Look at chapter 2 for just a moment, verses 1 and 2. We haven't looked at it yet. But notice that. What does he say? My little children. A father to a child, not like an earthly father with all his faults. And don't compare them. But this is our heavenly Father. But he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And that means practice sin. A believer does not practice, consciously practice, to stay in that sin. There's been a change. And if anyone sins, commits a specific act of sin, we have an advocate, someone to plead our case with the Father. Who? Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. He himself is the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So this first sin refers to how a believer does not continually sin. But if we commit an act of sin, we have one who stands before the Father pleading our case, namely Jesus. And the one representing us, our advocate, our attorney, if you will, is the one who paid the price to begin with. And he's standing before the one who set the whole thing up. Pretty good deal. But it's our part to respond to it. Now, how effective is this forgiveness if we'll just come? Instead of quit trying to hide it, pretend it's not there, excuse it, rationalize it. If we just really come with our hearts, say, God, forgive me. I give you this. Now, by your power, heal me and give me victory and help me every moment to walk in the light. How effective is this forgiveness? Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. I've told you, don't let me get away with that. Is that what it says? All. What does it say up in verse 7? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from some sin? All sin. There's nothing you can bring to him that he can't handle. The only thing he can't forgive is if you don't come and ask for it. He won't make you receive it. But if you come, there's nothing you come with. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done. But he does. And he says, all. Now it's interesting. He says all sins in verse 7. And he cleanses from all unrighteousness in verse 9. You know, if you look the word all up in the Greek, it's really interesting. It means all. Every. The whole thing. All of it. Period. All. So you got to come. So I ask you, how about you now? Isn't it time to get things straight with God? Now, I want to be clear about something. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, this isn't addressing you per se. This is the process by which a believer gets victory. If you've never received Christ as Savior, you've got to start there. There must reach that point where you not just confess, but believe, truly a heart believe, that he died on the cross for your sins. And make that proclamation that, yes, forgive me my sins, come into my heart. I receive that payment. Please apply that payment to my account, so to speak. So there must be that time when you personally receive Christ as Savior. If you've never done that, make sure you get to the prayer room today and do that. But John, or God, through John here, is speaking to believers. That's who I'm speaking to now. Our route back to him is through confession. And some of you need to take that journey this morning. Just throw open wide the door to that closet and say, God, here it is. Wash it out. Just turn your hose on it and blast it out because it's in the way. Some of you are allowing. And see, remember, we have this idea that, well, mine's not so bad. Anything that is contrary to his will for you blocks it up. You cannot have that in your life and have fellowship. That's God's word. You cannot walk in darkness and sin and harboring that thing, that attitude, that reaction, whatever it is. You cannot have that and have fellowship with Him. It's His very words. He wants it, but He can't have it until that is dealt with. Do you need to deal with it this morning? Got to give that opportunity in just a moment. God does not want this to be an academic time. I don't want it to be an academic time. God gave us this not to head study, but to heart apply. To avail ourselves of the truth contained in these verses. Do you need to do that? Is it time to confess something in your life? You know, as I was studying for this, I was reading some different commentaries and reading what some different pastors have said, you know, and all. And I was reading this one pastor who made reference to a recent study. Supposedly, it's citing some study they did amongst people who proclaimed to be Christians. And it was saying how like one out of every four subscribed to cable TVs with pornographic channels. One out of four. People who claim to be Christians, one out of four having pornography, pornographic channels that they subscribe to. And I read that over and over again. I was reading that. And of course, I came to this conclusion. Somewhere there's a church with a whole lot of people that must do that, because I'm sure it's not us. I got to thinking about our church, and I go, Lord, one out of four? One, two, three, four. No, I don't do that. But think about it. I go, well, that can't be any of us. We wouldn't do that. Wow, somewhere there's a whole bunch of people like that make up for this or something. But, see, and even that, you're like, oh, well, that's a really bad one. That's just one of a million potentials, isn't it? Of things we allow and do and think and play with in our brains and act upon. But you can't have it going on and expect fellowship with God. But in His love, He says, let's get it settled this morning. So now, the invitation. I'm going to invite the worship team up. That doesn't mean close Bibles, pick up coats, and leave. That just means worship team is going to come up because now is your time to act upon this invitation. Is it time to get something straight that you have going on in your life? An attitude of bitterness or unforgiveness? It could be a myriad of things. You know what's in that closet, and God certainly does. And yes, it could be unfaithfulness to your mate. It could be all kinds of things, of course. But God's saying, today, make today the day you leave here different than you came in. That you confessed it, you called it for what it is, you cried out for forgiveness and cleansing for it, and you're going to receive the power to start walking in the light instead of the darkness. It's time to move from verses 8 and 10 into verse 9. While the team leads us in a time of thinking this through and worship as they share this song, I'm going to invite you. Come up front. Come up front and let me lead you in a prayer. This is for you, believer. Now, we're not going to ask you to tell everybody what's going on. That's between you and God. But if it's between you and God, it's time to get it straight. So during this time, get up and come down here. Only if it represents you're going to start walking in the light. You're going to confess this thing. You're going to turn from it. We're not saying you will somehow are going to just on your own get victory, but you're going to get back into that fellowship to receive the power to walk in that victory. You're going to begin to make choices that reflect what you're about to declare. But it's time. Time to quit pretending it's not there. Time to quit lying, covering it over, trying to ignore it, trying to deny it. You know it's there. So during this time, come up front. Now, may I share this? Again, we're not going to ask you to share it out loud with anybody. But there is the potential that you come up front, that somebody else might go, oh, look at that. There goes so-and-so. May I share this? If you are somebody who sees somebody coming up because they just recognize there's something in their life they want to get straight, something they're tired of having there and just going to confess and give it to God. If you see somebody coming up front and you think a negative thought, that's why you better get up. You just reveal what your issue is, the pride and the judgmentalness that's going on in your life. And so if you have any thought of, look, there goes so-and-so, can't wait to tell others about who went up front. Man, you better be right up there with them. Let's pray. Father, because of your love, you're doing business. Lord, I sense you've been touching hearts all morning. You prepared us to come to this moment. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through your word, you've been lovingly pointing out closets, areas of trying to hide or ignore or excuse, trying to blame others. Lord, in your love, you're saying, stop it. Just stop it right now. And come to me is your call. Come to me with that thing. Let me forgive. Let me heal. Let me make new. Let me draw you back to the fellowship that I sent my son to die for in your life. Father, you're declaring that to each one. So now, Lord, help them. Help them to make today the day they choose to walk fully in your light. In Jesus' name. While the team leads us in the song, come up front if you relate to this. If this is the day, come up front.